Well, chapters 18 through 48, we come to the chosen children. Very quickly, Genesis chapter 18, there is the promise of the son. Genesis chapter 21 tells the story of Isaac's miraculous birth. Why do I call it a miraculous birth? Because God had to open Sarah's womb in order to accomplish that miracle. You know why the virgin birth doesn't surprise me? Because it's not the first miraculous birth we've seen in Scripture. It's not the first closed womb. It's not the first it's not the only unopened womb that we see. God is in the business of doing miracles so he will show us that he's in charge. Genesis 22, we come to the binding of Isaac. Remember that Abraham takes Isaac to Mount Moriah, the very place where later the temple will be built, the very place where Jesus will be offered on the tree, and there he begins to offer up Isaac. But God stays his hand, and one of the coolest things that I've ever gleaned from the sages of Israel's writing is how they talk about how Isaac at some point in the process came to realize what was going on. And even if he had just been a young man physically, I mean, how hard is it to get away from a 100-year-old guy? You know? You've got to have the upper hand. If you're 17 or 37, it doesn't make any difference. You've got the upper hand. But the sages of Israel teach, and I love it because of how it so patterns, we see it in Jesus, that Isaac willingly offered himself. Isn't that awesome? Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely." But Isaac was spared because the angel stopped Abraham's hand, and we find a ram caught with its head in a thicket of thorns. And that ram becomes a substitute sacrifice. Genesis 23, the death of Isaac's mother, Sarah. Genesis 24, the death of Isaac, or the bride of Isaac, is found at a well. We're going to see that as a repeating pattern throughout Scripture. God always finds his bride at a well. Genesis 25, the death of Isaac's father, Abraham. Guys, Isaac's life, the child, the chosen child, is a pattern of the Messiah who is to come, who will freely offer himself, who will be bound and die as a substitute for us all, and who will be recognized by the crown of thorns upon his head as the thorns were upon the ram in the thicket of thorns. And by the way, what are the odds, since it was on the very same mountain and the very same place, that the very same type of thorns were used? You see, guys, when Jesus wore that crown of thorns on his head, it wasn't just another mean thing the Romans were doing. It was a sign to you of the role and the ministry that he was playing.